Good evening to each one gathered together here this evening. Greetings to you from the Kirkwood congregation. It's good to be with all of you here tonight and worship together. Thank you, Brother Bobby, for those thoughts. And, you know, he read a number of verses already that talked about speaking, and it was talking about speaking in a good way. And as I was given this title, The Sin of Evil Speaking, I too was impressed of how much the Bible has to say about our speech. And you start to dig into it, and there's verse after verse in the Bible that talks about speaking. And that made an impression on me too, that the Lord thinks a lot, or the Lord holds us accountable for our speech. And it's of great importance to Him on how we speak and what we say. And that's some of the reason why speaking certain ways can be evil. As I thought about that and how important it is and how much power our words have, it helped me to somewhat grasp why there is a sin in speaking. It's because there's importance, there's power, there's consequences for some of the words we say. So just in there, the phrase evil speaking is found one time in the Bible, and we will get to those verses in a little bit. But to start off, I would like to take you back to the Old Testament, to Proverbs 11. And I just want to look at a number of verses sprinkled through Proverbs. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about our speech and how to say it and what we say. My first point for this evening is there is power in words. Fairly elementary, but yet I think it's of great importance that we realize that what comes out of our mouth has power and carries weight. A quote that I came across, "Your words have power. Speak words that are kind, loving, positive, uplifting, encouraging, and life-giving." Starting in Proverbs 11, verse 9. "A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered." We see there that we can use it in our mouth in a very negative way to destroy others. Turn over to Proverbs 15, verse 1. Another familiar verse, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." We see both sides of the spectrum there. We can use our tongue to give soft answers, to turn away wrath, or we can use it to actually stir up that wrath and that anger. Turn to Proverbs 20, verse 15. "There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel." Proverbs 25, verse 18. "A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul, a sword, and a sharp arrow." Again, speaking about doing other people harm by our words. And that word maul there is a war club or a sword and a sharp arrow. And bearing false witness or telling something false about your neighbor, or bearing false witness, is like that. It can do them damage. It hurts them. It can pierce them through. So in order to help us realize that our words have consequences, it helped me to understand that there is power in our words. And we see that in these verses here. You see, the average human speaks somewhere between 7,000 to 13,000 words per day. That's that many words that are coming out of your mouth on an average day. We also hear about 30,000 words a day. We know that, as I said before, that our words have power. We know in history, words have rallied men to fight. Words can cut to the deepest part of humans' feelings. Words can discourage others. Words can give hope. Words can show love, and words can convey our deepest emotion. You see, that's why God looks so, or has such a strong feeling on our words, because they carry a lot of weight. They can do a lot of damage or a lot of good. You see, we have all heard words from a very early stage in our lives. It's actually proven that even unborn babies can hear words and recognize voices. By around 18 weeks, a baby can start to hear and can start to hear voices and can know and hear if it's their father or their mother, and they can hear it. So from before we were born until right now, we are hearing words. We never stop hearing unless we lose our hearing. So we are all affected by these words this evening. And I think most of us here tonight have the ability of talking and forming words. So this message is for everybody. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. It affects us all. So from birth, we are affected by these words, and not only by the words that are said, but also by how they are said. You can say nice words in the wrong way, and they carry a negative meaning. So my first point there was that there is power in words. Second point is that words are life. Our speech has power. Words do not fade. What starts out as a sound ends in a deed. You see, there was an experiment that was taken a while back, was conducted on about 40 newborn infants to determine whether individuals could thrive alone on basic psychological needs without affection. 20 newborn infants were housed in a special facility where they had caregivers who would go in to feed them, bathe them, change their diapers, but they would do nothing else. The caregivers had been instructed not to look at or touch the babies more than was necessary, never communicating with them. All their physical needs were attended to, and the environment was kept sterile, and none of the babies became ill. The experiment, however, was halted after 4 months, by which time at least half of the babies had died at that point. At least 2 more died even after being rescued and brought into a more natural, familiar family environment. There was no psychological cause for the baby's death. They were all physically very healthy, but each baby died. There was a period where they would stop verbalizing and trying to engage with their caregivers, generally stop moving, nor cry, or even change expression. Death would follow shortly. You see, it's somewhat a very sad experiment that took place, but it shows that we are created as human beings to interact with others. That's not a choice that we have tonight. We are going to be interacting with others. If we don't, the experiment shows that death will come. If we were isolated all by ourselves, eventually, I think, too, most of us, unable to talk to any other human being, would eventually give up the will to live. So there is life in words this evening. God created us to need this verbal interaction with others. So maybe if you're like me and sometimes you think that your mouth gets you in too much trouble, you're just going to be quiet and not say anything, you're best off just stop talking. That's not the answer either here this evening, because there is life in words. And that's not the way God designed us and not what God intends us to do. Today we do not have that choice of whether or not we're going to communicate by words. We all know that we must and will talk. But the choice we have is, are we going to guard our words? And are we going to be careful with what we say? And that's what the Bible has a lot to say on, with guarding the words that come from our mouths. The third point that helps me to realize why some speaking is evil and the sin of it is that the tongue is a revealer of the heart. You see, it's fairly elementary, but your vocal cords, your tongue, your mouth, formulating words. We say the tongue, when the Bible talks about the tongue, it talks about the words that are coming out of our mouth, but yet our tongue has very little power on its own. The tongue is a revealer of the heart, or what's in the mind. And that's what can be of such encouragement to others, but it's what can also tear others down in such major ways. It's because it reveals what another person is thinking. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to take the time to read verses 20 through 32. And it's in these verses here where the phrase evil speaking is found. Starting at verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Words are the way we communicate what is on our minds and our thoughts. Words are the most important way that two brains can connect, whether you can do some communication through physical gestures, but yet we can communicate a lot more when we have the ability to talk. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You see, our society today has grown accustomed to the idea that a person has the right to say whatever is on his or her mind. Even if it offends somebody else, that doesn't matter. You have the right to say, to talk how you want, and others just have to deal with it. And what I see here in these verses, that is not what we as Christians or how we are called to live or to talk. I realize that we have come a long way from what I call like the Victorian era, which would have been, let's say, 100 or 200, 300 years ago, where you bottled up your feelings and your emotions. You just kind of sucked it up and lived with it. You didn't tell anybody else what was going on inside. And we've grown in a lot of ways, I feel. But yet, the pendulum has swung too far to the other side. And I'm talking about general society around us. But yet what happens there often, I feel, rubs off on us. And sometimes we feel we can just say what we want, say what's on our mind, say how we're feeling, say what we're thinking, and everybody else has to deal with it. But that's not how we as Christians are called to live. In verse 32 there it says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's what makes our words so powerful, is because it reveals what is in our hearts. It's also why we need to guard what is being said. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. My fourth point of why we should need to guard our speech is man will give an account for his words. And that's basically somewhat what this whole message is about. But yet it says it very clearly here in Matthew 12, that someday we will give an account. Starting at verse 32 in Matthew chapter 12. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof on the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. To me, this is a very sobering thought as we think about speaking 7,000 to 13,000 words a day. And someday, the Lord is going to judge us somewhat by the speech that we have said, the words we have said. You see, again, in these verses here, that we as Christians, it just goes to show how our words are revealing our heart. And Jesus condemns those who, he's saying, can a corrupt tree bear good fruit? And the answer is no. Can a Christian speak hurtful or evil or filthy words and still be a Christian? The answer is no. We're going to be, because it's revealing what is in our heart and our mind. He strongly condemns against trying to be something on the outside that we're not on the inside. In verse 34 there, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Going down to verse 37 there, again, it speaks of giving account, being judged by our words. It will either justify us or condemn us. So it's a very sobering thought that we need to think of and think of. I know I don't think of it often enough, that my general talking is going to someday be a part of what I am judged by. I know not all words we say probably have moral implications, but for the most part, I don't think our words are amoral. Most times they're either building somebody else up or else they're tearing them down, more often than not. There's some just general discussions that probably don't carry a lot of weight. But for the most part, when we talk, other people are affected by it. And that's also why it's of importance. Because when we're speaking, others are listening and are affected. And how are you making them feel? The fifth point that I want to talk or to look at is how to speak. Now, I'm not an English teacher here this evening, and I'm not going to be talking about the vocabulary or English lessons. That's not what we're talking about, but more on how to speak and how to or what to say and how to talk to others. And if you turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3, this chapter in James has a lot to say about speech. I just want to pull some things from it that I think are very good reminders for all of us. James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven about of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of bird, and of serpent, and of things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made of the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? For can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envyings and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I just want to catch one verse in chapter 4, verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. How are we to speak this evening or in our lives? If you look there at verse 2. One who is able not to hurt others with his tongue is called perfect. Can we as humans here this evening, can we reach that level of perfection in our lives? Can you not hurt others with your tongue? And the answer is no, except if we have Christ in our lives. In our human nature, we cannot reach perfection. We cannot govern or control our own thoughts or our own words. Many people try, many do a fairly good job at it, but yet there will be times when the tongue will slip and say things that should not. But with Christ in our lives, I feel we can attain to somewhat of that level of perfection and not hurting others by our words. In verses 3 through 4, we see that humans can control horses and ships, but are unable to control the tongue. It goes very hand in hand with what I've been saying so far, that the tongue is very powerful. Men can do things, put things in place to control a lot of other things, but yet have a very difficult or almost impossible of controlling themselves or the words that come out. The tongue has much power. Verses 5 through 6, it shows that the tongue is capable of doing things that will harm ourselves and others. It says there that the tongue is a little member and boasts great things, which is harmful to us. It also says that it can kindle a fire, a world of iniquity, can defile the whole body, set on fire the course of nature. Left to itself, the tongue will bring us hurt and will hurt others. In verses 7 and 8, again, we see too that man can tame every type of animal, but struggles to tame the tongue. Verses 9 through 10, the tongue can be two-sided. It can be blessing and cursing. We saw also in Matthew how the Lord looks at that. Here in verses 9 and 10, it says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Christ does not want us as Christians to have both good words and bad words or evil words coming from our mouth. It's not how we are to be living. What are some of these or how can we hurt others? If we continue to go down there in verses 13 through 18, it talks about bitter envyings and strife. Then it talks, too, about bringing peace and gentle, easy to be entreated. Are the words you're speaking tonight, are they bullets or are they seeds? And that saying comes from a book by Gary Chapman. The title is Love as a Way of Life. And it uses this vivid metaphor for words as being either bullets or seeds. And it says, and if we use our words as bullets with a feeling of superiority and condemnation, we are not going to be able to restore a relationship to love. If we use our words as seeds with a feeling of supportiveness and sincere goodwill, we will rebuild a relationship in a positive and life-affirming way. And I feel this is maybe the most important or the core of the message here this evening, is that relationships can be severed very quickly by our words. Another reason why they're so important. We can use our words in basically two ways, either to bring envyings and strife or to bring peace. And I was reminded of a song, it's a very familiar song, but I just like the way it says it. It's angry words, oh let them never. Angry words, oh let them never, from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lip. Love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far for a moment's reckless folly, thus to desolate and mar. Angry words are lightly spoken. Bitter thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. And you can take that word out, angry, and put evil words in there. But again, it shows us, or it tells us, that one word can destroy a lifelong friendship. And that's why we need to be careful that we check our lips. We don't want them to soil our lips. Is that what we're doing this evening? Are we being a help or a hindrance to others? Are our words bullets that hurt, or are they seeds that will build and grow and nurture? Someday you will no longer be here, and people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. Is the words you're saying and the way you're saying them conveying them, and the way you're conveying them, building them up, or is it tearing them down? And as we think about tearing someone down, I think most of us know how we tear others down by words. But saying hurtful things directly to their face, or gossiping behind their back, not respecting elders older than you, or vehement on one's own opinion, or making fun of someone else, these are all ways that we tear others down. And we as Christians, that should not be named among us. But we can use our words to build others up. Words of love, words of respect, words of encouragement, words of humor, words of thankfulness, words of affirmation, words of praise, words of kindness, words of reverence. These are things that build each other up. They encourage them. They bring joy to other people's lives. And that's how we should be using our words tonight. Are we planting seeds? We don't have the choice. I'll say it again. We don't have the choice tonight of whether or not we're going to use words, but we do have the choice of how we're going to use them and what we're going to say. And you as an individual are the only one who can make that choice. I cannot control what comes out of your mouth this evening. You are the one who is going to have to do that with the help of God. Another point that makes our speech so important or so serious is that once our words are said, there is no way that they can be retrieved. Just a little story to illustrate my point there. A woman once repeated a nasty piece of gossip about a friend. The news traveled, and soon everyone knew the bad news. The woman's friend was deeply hurt, not only by the untruths being said about her, but by the betrayal of a friend. The woman who had passed on the gossip was also wounded, racked with guilt over the pain she had caused her friend. She approached her grandfather, a man who had always seemed very wise, and asked what she should do to set things right. Buy a chicken and have it killed. Then on the way home, pluck its feathers out and drop them along the road. When you have done this, come and see me. The woman was somewhat perplexed, but this advice she followed anyway. The next day, she returned to her grandfather. This time, he told her to go and collect all the feathers she had dropped on the road yesterday and bring them to him. But that is impossible, she said. They've all blown away. Exactly, said her grandfather. It is easy to drop them, but it is impossible to get them back. It doesn't take much to spread a rumor, but once you do it, you can never undo the hurt. But perhaps you can ask for forgiveness. It's what makes our words so serious tonight. Once they have left our mouth, there is no way of capturing them back. We can ask for forgiveness, we can try to make amends, but yet if we said something very hurtful to a person, they will most likely remember that for a very long time, possibly never forget it. And there is no way you can undo what has been said. In James 4, verse 11 there, it says, speak no evil of another. The tongue has no bones, but is strong enough to break a heart. By speaking evil of others, we can hurt them and cut them to their very core. You see, there is something amazing about the human body. And it, again, has been proven, and I think we all know it to some degree, that if a person is told that they can do something, or are very beautiful, or are very smart, or very strong, whatever it is, if they're told that time and again, most likely they will succeed or achieve in those areas. But if a person is told from a very young age, no matter what age, but especially from a very young age, that they are no good, they're worthless, they'll never be able to do anything, they don't have a chance, they probably will not succeed. You see, we believe what others tell us, or our minds believe it. If we continue to feed that to a person, eventually we believe that as well. So what would be better than the Church of Christ or Christians who gather together and rally each other and encourage them? We will start to believe that, and our mind will be more geared in that direction. It's also, I feel, very important to us as parents or grandparents here this evening that the words you say and the way you say them to your children or to your grandchildren have long-lasting effects. I think we all know this, but it just is something that we need to be reminded of time and again, that our words have much power, far beyond what we may be able to imagine or even think of. Just one last verse here in closing is Colossians 4:6, and it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. And I pray that that's the testimony of everyone here this evening, or the motto that you have of your life is that your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Be gracious, be kind, be gentle in our speech. And as I quoted before, but I'll quote it again, I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel.